Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Chris Raunchy, Amy Martzgors, because life is too short for boring radio. 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It is 104.1 FM, KMOX. Chris and Amy with you on this beautiful cloudy Friday. And we have heard that electricity prices, power, is going up. It's happening around the country. It is going to happen here as well. And to talk about that with us, why and what you can do about it, Senior Director of Regulatory Affairs for Ameren Missouri, Steve Wills, is with us on KMOX. Steve, we appreciate your time.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So we know this month that prices are going up for people, and they have been steadily doing so for a little bit now around the country. So what is behind the price increase?
It really arises from the age of our infrastructure and the investments we need to make to continue to improve the reliability and the resilience of our system for our customers. We're installing equipment and infrastructure to make a smarter and stronger grid, to result in fewer outages for our customers, faster restoration when we do have outages, and overall better customer service. And as you mentioned, these trends are happening everywhere. Ameren Missouri works hard to maintain rates that are well below the regional and national averages for our peer utilities. So, you know, we're really just doing what we need to do to make sure that we can keep the lights on, as best as possible for customers in all conditions.
I know this probably goes without saying, since this deal was finalized before the recent tornadoes that hit St. Louis, but will those storms and the subsequent restoration, will that affect the prices for Ameren customers?
No, not at this time at all. You're exactly right that the commission's review of our rates was concluded before those storms. And once those rates are set, you know, it takes another rate filing and months of processing that. So nothing having to do with those storms is impacting the costs that were used by the commission to evaluate our current rate levels.
How much will tariffs have an effect on this? Because we know there's the steel tariff that's happening, and steel is important in electricity around the country. So is it going to have an impact? And if so, just how great of one?
That's something that certainly won't impact rates in the short run. Over the longer term, you know, as we go into the future and make additional investments, it would, you know, have the tendency to raise the cost of some of our inputs. We really, you know, make those investments first and then later go to the commission to adjust rates to reflect those costs. And that process is a roughly 11-month process to go through. So there will be no impact in the short run. And, you know, we're still evaluating exactly what kind of the impacts on our input materials will be to understand that. But it certainly can, you know, raise the cost of some of those components of the system.
So it began on June 1st, the rate increase, which will increase the cost for utilities for households by about 12%, or on average about $14 a month. And the final increase will provide for Ameren, I believe, about $355 million. And that's the money that you're saying is going to improve the infrastructure around the area and improve services. Is that enough money?
Yeah, I think we think that was an appropriate and fair resolution of the case to make sure that we have the capital that we need to make those investments for the benefit of our customers and, you know, still maintain rates that are lower than our peer, you know, averages around us. So, yeah, I think you're exactly right. In terms of your statistics that you reported there, we expect that to be on average about $14 per month. Of course, that varies based on an individual customer's actual level of usage, but that's kind of our average level. And yeah, that provides us the resources we need to attract capital to invest in our system and make those improvements to make the system, you know, more robust, resilient, and reliable.
So the average person listening is going to say, well, I mean, everything's going up. Mm-hmm. Everything's more expensive. Now I have to pay more for electricity. What can the company do to help offset that a bit for people who just feel like they are being overwhelmed by how expensive everything is?
Yeah, we fully understand that, and that you know, it's difficult times, you know, for a lot of customers with the rising prices. And I think there are a few things there. One is that we do, you know, work diligently to you know, manage our costs to keep our rates as low as possible, which, as I'm kind of have mentioned a couple times, is evidenced by our rates being, you know, significantly lower than most of our peer averages. But beyond that, you know, we're going to offer energy assistance to those customers who struggle to pay their bills. So we've got more assistance available than ever, and we would encourage customers that are really having that financial hardship and inability to pay their bills to reach out to us. You can find us at amerenmissouri.com/energy assistance. And there are, you know, energy assistance grants, flexible payment options, and energy usage help. And then I would also encourage customers to look at our different rate options and energy efficiency programs that can help manage their individual bills by, you know, making improvements in their home and or adjusting when they use power to use it at lower price times. So there are tools available to our customers to help them manage those bills and keep their own, you know, impacts as low as possible.
You're talking about assistance for customers in Missouri, and I know you're with Missouri, but is the same thing happening in Illinois, too? Because we have about a third of our listeners who live on the Illinois side.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have as many details on the Illinois side, but I definitely know there is assistance. There are assistance programs and options available over there as well. So would definitely encourage those folks to you know, reach out to the utility as well.
I know you talked about the improvements since you had some outdated systems or infrastructure when it comes to electricity. Will there be any part of this update that people will notice, you know, that they'll see or feel?
You know, really, it's just about in the areas that we've made these investments, we're seeing fewer and shorter outages. You know, I guess people never know the outage, never feel the outage that mm-hmm. they didn't experience. But that's what we're really looking for, is where when you don't notice a problem, that's kind of the impact of this, you know. So on the circuits where we've made a lot of these upgrades, we have about a 40% improvement in reliability on those circuits. Our storm hardening of our infrastructure has saved over 93,000 outages and 36 million outage minutes over the time period from the beginning of January through mid-2024, and those just continue to accumulate. So it's really in what you don't see is where you experience the benefits of this. So we hope you don't notice it, because mm-hmm. your power is seamless.
So since it is, and our summers have been getting warmer, it feels like mm-hmm. I've been back here for 8 years now, and it seems like every summer is hotter than the previous summer. So energy costs, a lot of that is because of the heat and cooling a house or cooling an apartment or whatever. How are you helping to combat that, to make sure that it doesn't get too expensive for people?
Yeah, I think great question. I referred earlier, and I think we mentioned our energy efficiency programs, where we look to help customers, you know, perform those cooling functions in their home more efficiently with some of our program options. You know, so energy efficiency is a big piece of that. And then, you know, really we're just making these investments to make sure that we're actually, you know, can deliver the power during those extreme conditions, because that's what puts the most stress on the grid. You know, we're investing in new generation to make sure that we have, you know, clean but reliable mix of generation to meet customers' needs. And to keep it low cost, you know, we're investing in the right mix, you know, low cost renewable resources with some dispatchable generation to make sure that we have reliability. But again, to you know, help our customers manage the cost of that cooling, I think the energy efficiency options are great. And if folks have a programmable thermostat, some of our rate options can help them shift their cooling into different hours of the day and have a lower bill impact as well.
So what do you have in terms of, you know, just, I guess, Cliff's notes here, some ways people can keep their costs down other than, you know, keeping the AC higher than it normally would be? I thought I saw somewhere that it was like the recommendation is to keep it at 78 degrees or something, which seems pretty high for this time of year. So what are your recommendations for people in their own homes?
Yeah, I think, you know, everyone's, you know, comfort level and choice of that, you know, thermostat is individual preference based, but certainly the higher you keep that, if you keep it a couple degrees higher, it's going to be a little bit less, you know, less impact on your bill. You know, keeping your shades closed during the summer afternoon so that that sun beating in through the windows really has a big impact. Maintaining, you know, I mentioned energy efficient programs to upgrade your equipment, but also maintaining your electric equipment, making sure that you've had it serviced regularly and keeping it clean and operating properly is important. And then again, for those customers who are willing to monitor when they use power, signing up for a rate option where they can get lower prices for most hours of the day is a great option as well. So I mean, there are lots of things that you can do and explore those on our website, but those are just a few thoughts on it.
I know we're still looking at watching the cleanup of all the power lines that were knocked down during the tornado. Can you give us an update on where Ameren is with that cleanup?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's obviously been a lot of, you know, almost all customers have been restored. I think where it hasn't been is due to the, you know, the damage of the actual buildings and actually being able to safely connect a building that itself, you know, sustained significant damage. But otherwise, you know, we've gotten all the customers back online and, you know, we are, do have special assistance programs available for those customers that were impacted. But so, you know, we're working hard to you know, restore those communities and also, you know, assist them through this difficult time.
Steve Wills, Senior Director of Regulatory Affairs for Ameren Missouri. We appreciate you joining us and we appreciate the information today. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a great day.
That is Steve Wills with Ameren Missouri joining us here on the Chris and Amy Show. We're glad you're listening in. It is 104.1 FM KMOX.
It's the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX. Sponsored by the St. Louis Aquarium. Explore the St. Louis Aquarium at Union Station.
Chris Ranji, Amy Markscores with you, and we've talked a lot about the Metrolink, and there were a lot of safety concerns with the Metrolink, and one of the solutions was to put gates so that you do have to buy a ticket to ride a Metrolink and kind of vet who's going through there, making sure it's people using the Metrolink for actual transportation rather than just ne'er-do-wells. Matt, as we like to say. Well, here's the good news. While as part of this security plan, the Metro began installing turnstiles in its 38 stations across St. Louis, St. Louis County, and St. Clair County, and the new gates now are in 11 of the Metrolink stations. That's awesome. And what they're going to do, basically, is you buy your ticket, you scan it, the gates let you through. The problem is that the technology that they need for the turnstiles to read the tickets and let people through, it's not done yet. It's going to be maybe next year when those gates actually work. So what's happening, people have their tickets, the gates don't work, they can't get through, and they have Metrolink security letting people through. The only thing is, I'm going to use Megan Lynch's phrase from Total Information AM this morning. Sometimes the security wander off.
Aren't you supposed? Okay.
So
you're supposed to be there.
Yeah. So then they wander off. So now you've got your ticket for the Metrolink. The train is there. The turnstile won't let you through. So you push the button that's supposed to take you to the Metrolink, you know, operation center so they can let you through. The problem is some of the travelers have said no one's answering that button. So you're standing behind the turnstile and the gate is closed and you miss your train. And
I know a certain parking lot like that where you might have an issue when you hit the call button and nobody answers it.
I'm just a little confused. So they seem pretty confident. Like, yeah, no, we know that the new fare system that we've got, it's not going to operate until early next year. It's going to be months, early next year. Were they okay with having gates that didn't work that required a manual open and close? I guess they were okay. I guess they're not okay with the security guards who are supposed to be opening and closing the gates wandering
off.
Well,
if somebody's doing their job, then they're supposed to be there and there shouldn't be an issue.
So I guess.
It sounds to me like, well, I mean, first things first, you gotta fix the technical issue here.
Well, that's
whatever
not,
it is.
Not,
that's
it,
number one.
It's not a repair. It's just that they knew that the new fare system wouldn't be in place until next year.
So that,
but they installed the gates ahead of time.
Right. So like that's got to be taken care of first. I know that's priority one, but in the moment, if you hire people, they probably should be there.
Yeah.
There does seem to be, gosh, I don't even want to say this, because I feel like I'm going to say this and I'm going to sound like one of those,
doofuses.
Hey, kids don't want to work anymore kind of thing. But there does feel sometimes like there's a greater don't give an F kind of feeling to some people who are working in some places, like, not too worried about it. Oh, there's a huge line. I'll get there when I get there. You know, like, I will handle this. You know, maybe I'll work quickly. Maybe I won't. Like, I feel like there's a little more of that maybe in the last 5 years than there used to be. So if you've ever, and I don't do a lot of drive-thrus, but I feel like anytime I have done them in the last, you know, 2 to 3, lines are crazy long and they take forever. And they're asking, hey, could you pull up here? I'm like, well, pull up. Like,
well, I'm going to say this. Here I am. This is, again, roles are reversed here, like Hancock and Kelly. There's a worker shortage, and it is difficult to find workers in construction, in security jobs, plumbing, fast food, even Starbucks, right? So when you have a worker shortage and you're asking everyone else to do a bit more, which these people are doing, or maybe you're just going to operate understaffed, which a lot of stores are doing, I think those working go, listen, I can't run myself ragged getting through this line every day because we've got 3 staffers when we should have 6. So I think they kind
That's
of, there's
of it,
some
sure.
resignation of, I'm going to do my best, but in order to keep myself sane, in order to hold a pace that's sustainable, I can't rush.
So I'll give you an example. Yesterday I went by a CVS. I needed soap. I needed some soap and I needed some D.O., you know,
D.O.
for your B.O. Oh. And so I went in and a lot of things are locked up now, depending on the CVS that you go to. And because, you know, a lot of things are getting stolen. So I had to wait for somebody to come over and open up the thing. And then she did. And it's fine. I mean, I don't expect her to run over to me. This is not an urgent need. And she was working the register and had to come do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like I think there were a couple of people in line when I got there. So I'm waiting and she finally does come by. But she's on a FaceTime call with like a friend or something, just a dude. And they're having a casual conversation. And I'm like, all right, like, I get it. This job sucks. And you're not being helped out because you don't have a whole lot of help working with you. I get it. It appears to be understaffed. Mm-hmm. She appeared to be the only person working that I could tell anyway, but maybe not do FaceTime.
May I ask the...
And then she was doing FaceTime when she came back around and then I checked out and she was behind the register and she was still on FaceTime.
May I ask the age and or generation guesstimate?
She was younger, I'm pretty sure. Like, I mean, she was younger than me. I just don't know how.
Like, you don't know if she was millennial or Gen
30s.
Z.
20s or 30s, I couldn't tell.
So maybe an old Gen Z...
Could be.
Or a young millennial.
Could be.
Yeah, because I will say, yes, my point right? Standby, understaffed, worn out. But then they are people who keep this kind of data on workers do find that sometimes Gen Z prioritizes how they're feeling in the moment with their FaceTime, with social media. Sometimes they're calling in that they can't come into work. What was it? Like, because their cat wasn't feeling good. Like, really kind of funny, but not funny, personal issues. So I get that there may be a generational thing. With this, I'm not sure what's going on with Metro. I do want to at least say they revised the policy. Now, if a guard assigned to a station's gate needs to leave or wander off, the guard will notify the real-time camera center, and the workers at the real-time camera center will hold the gate open. So the turnstile is now open for good until that guard returns.
Yeah.
So that's good for the riders because there are frequent riders who you need to get to work. Imagine that the Metrolink is your only way to get to work, to get to your job.
And there are plenty of people who that's what they have to rely on.
And for a long time, maybe you don't feel safe on it because people just ride on it. That's why when there was issues with like homeless people defecating on it, because there were no turnstiles, there was no fee to ride the Metrolink. You could just hop on. So they put turnstiles there to help real riders feel safer and know that the people using the Metrolink are using it for a purpose. But then the gates don't open. That would be frustrating. You get, you know, late for a job or you miss your shift because you can't catch the train.
Yeah,
the gate's
closed. And you know what? The excuse isn't going to work with your boss because you're going to come in and say, "I'm sorry, the gate was closed. I couldn't get on." And they'll say, "Yeah, okay," or something.
Not my problem.
Or leave earlier or whatever. It doesn't work for people who need you and they rely on that service. The service needs to work.
What's kind of cool is that Citizens for Modern Transit, so it's a transit booster group in the St. Louis area, said that Metro announced their new policy about keeping the gates open after the group held an online forum. So the people got together and they made a noise, you know, and they discussed what was going on and Metro took action. So the regular riders are saying that that was a victory for the community because they were able to make their voices heard and action was taken.
Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji. We do have the Gas House Gang coming up at 12 o'clock today. Matt Pauley and I will start the show. Mike Claiborne is going to join us. We will have with us on the show John Rooney and former umpire Joe West. We can ask him which parents are the worst. Maybe he knows the answer to that. Yeah, Joe West, friends of Claib's, part of the Friday broadcast of Gas House Gang. That's all coming up here on 104.1 FM KMOX. We got tickets to give away. Last day to do it, too. You know how we've been giving away tickets all week to see Cody Johnson at Thunder Ridge Nature Arena?
Mm-hmm.
In Ridgedale,
not
Missouri.
Not the museum.
Not the museum. There's not a museum there, as far as I know. On August 23rd, Cody Johnson will be performing, and this is our final pair of tickets to give away now.
Yeah.
We need caller number
6
to the contest line at 314-955-1120. 314-955-1120. Caller 6 gets to go to the show.
Good luck. Your chances are slim.
Very
super
slim.
Super slim. I mean, if you thought they were slim Monday, they're even slimmer now.
You know what, though? Let me give you one more incentive to hang out for a little bit longer. I told you the Gas House Gang's coming up here at 12 o'clock. We are giving away a 4-pack of tickets for the game tonight. Cardinals-Dodgers.
That's awesome.
During the Gas House Gang.
I'm going to tease this. I don't want to put you on the hot seat, but you mentioned one of your guests is Joe West.
Yeah.
Joe West, the famous Major League Baseball umpire.
We are doing a new segment on Friday when we have Mike Claiborne on the show. It's called Friends of Friends of Claib's. And his friend this week is Joe West. Remember, we talked to Joe. He came in studio a couple of years ago. I think when it was you and me and Kevin.
I don't remember meeting Joe West.
At any rate,
but here's the thing. Ronge, if he can, it might be good. You should ask Joe West
our question of the week. Yeah.
Which youth sports has the worst parents?
I love it.
I think that'll be really, really interesting. Okay.
Now, this is an umpire who gets it from
Yeah.
Argues to get it from a lot of people.
And he had to work
including
his way
me.
Up. He had to work his way up. There was a segment a couple of days ago. I was not watching the Piers Morgan show, but I heard about it.
It's an adventure.
Yeah, it's an adventure. But the clip started making the rounds. So Piers Morgan had a couple of guests on. One was Kevin O'Leary, the Shark Tank guy. He's the Shark Tank guy. The other one was Scott Galloway. You might know him. He's an American public speaker. He's a professor, an entrepreneur, and an author. Does very well for himself. And they were Kevin O'Leary, Piers Morgan, and Scott Galloway talking about Elon Musk. This is what Scott had to say.
I don't think you can deny his genius. I'll use Starlink on my flight to London in a couple days, and it's a superior product. I owned a Tesla. But somehow we've decided in America that innovation and money replaces or obviates or excuses depravity. Cutting off aid to HIV-positive mothers, deciding what veterans should get benefits, cutting off SNAP payments, which have shown to have a positive net return when people run out of money for food at the end of the month. I mean, I think one of the wonderful things about being an American, and quite frankly, what it means to be a man and what I try to teach my boys is the whole point of prosperity is such that you can protect people. And I think the two of you are more impressed with Mr. Musk than I am. I think if somebody is making Nazi salutes, if somebody is being sued concurrently by two women for sole custody of their child because that person has not spent any time with that child, when someone is so severely addicted to drugs they can't get their shit together to show up to the White House without looking exceptionally high, I don't think that's the right role model for young men. So what I would ask to all of us is look at what money has done to us. That if someone can land a rocket on metal scissors or create a great EV, he's a genius. He's the wealthiest man in the world. But does that mean we should excuse depravity? Does that mean, unlike Bill Gates, he's not using his billions to help people? He's not planting trees, the shade of which he won't sit under? I think this is an individual who has literally come off the tracks, who is rabidly addicted to drugs, and is using his immense power to get people elected, and that too many of us excuse what is abhorrent behavior. I think his legacy is not going to be an EV or putting rockets into space. I think it's going to be unnecessary death, disease, and disability of the world's most vulnerable. That is not what it means to be an innovator. It's not what it means to be an American. It's not what it means to be a man.
Wow. Kevin.
That was Piers Morgan with the wow. And both
Nothing
Piers
he
Morgan
said is wrong.
Yeah, and Kevin O'Leary were a bit stunned during that that commentary on the current environment in which we find ourselves. And I agree wholeheartedly with what Scott Galloway said about excusing depravity. Excusing depravity because, yes, he landed a rocket ship on a pair of metal scissors. Yeah, and he started that by saying he is a genius. We get it. However, look at the character of the man and how it is corrupt. It is vile. It is not laudatory. And I thought that was so well put.
I don't believe, maybe there is a part of Elon Musk that really, truly is concerned about how much government money is spent and that there is too much and that we have to worry about the deficit and, you know, maybe. But for somebody who has as much money as he does, I kind of feel like he doesn't really care all that much. And maybe some of these organizations, there is a personal vendetta against some of them, which is why he targeted them, because I don't know that we're going to get the payoff that he promised we were going to get. No, not I don't know. I know for a fact we're not going to get the payoff. We're not. And it's part of the reason he's now upset with the spending bill, because it's going to completely offset and then some any of the minimal cuts that Doge was able to accomplish. But I think that a lot of the cuts that he ended up implementing, suggesting and implementing, will end up hurting more people than doing actual good for us. And I said this a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about it, that some of this, and even some of the immigration stuff, I believe, is going to end up costing the country billions of dollars down the road in labor or in destruction or in death or in soft power, which we are just we're letting get away from us with some of these programs like USAID was a lot of soft power for us. Because I mean, these countries that we were helping out look to us like, oh, man, here comes America to save the day. Look at this great country. And that is power that, you know, yeah, we're buying it, but we're doing it without using military to do it.
Someone's going to influence the world. Someone is going to influence countries that need assistance, and it's going to be us or it's going to be China and Russia.
Right.
End of story.
Who do you want it to be?
Who do you want it to be? And I will say this even. I don't remember if it was 2019 or 2021. Like, I don't know if it was right before COVID or right after. But I, when I had the old AB Mark Scores show, I went on like a 10-minute monologue, Jeremiah, kind of standing up for billionaires saying, listen, I don't need to look to billionaires as a moral compass, but yes, they got very rich with the capitalist system, but some have done a ton of work, a ton of good, a lot of philanthropic good and charitable work that honestly would have gotten bogged down in government bureaucracies. Like you mentioned, Bill Gates giving away 99% of his wealth. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that he's doing that. And this was before Elon Musk got super involved in politics. And I was like, hey, Elon Musk, I don't like the guy, but he kind of made electric vehicles sexy. And if you care about the environment, he helped make EVs cool. Now, again, this was before everything went off the rails,
right,
before he bought Twitter, before he went political and everything. And when I look at him, people may say, well, I used to like him. I also think people change. People can get super corrupt. People who are addicted to hard drugs can change. So let's say Elon kind of cared at the beginning.
Yeah.
He could have taken a hard left turn for the worst. That happens. We see that happen with people.
Well, here's a texter who says Elon Musk is trying to clear the environmental hurdles for his SpaceX venture. And he's not wrong. That text is not wrong, because there are implications in Texas about this, where some of the environmentalists down there are like, wait a minute, you know, your whole mission to get to Mars is going to have a massive detrimental environmental impact on Texas specifically. And so there's some concern down there. He's trying to get rid of all that.
Well, the good news is I think he's dismantling some of this stuff now. That,
exactly.
Despite
right. So
Trump.
I do not for a second truly believe that in Elon Musk's heart, there is concern for the for us, for the citizens of the country. It's him and his businesses. How does he clear and get rid of some of these hurdles altogether?
Why would he care about you, Ranj, if he doesn't care about his 12
own
or
kids?
13 children that he's had with multiple women? That he sees women as vehicles of reproduction. He thinks his sperm's superior. He thinks he's God's gift to humanity. This guy is vile. He has no morals. He sees, I think, a lot of humanity as an experiment. By the way, he also wants to populate the earth. Like, oh, he's a pronatalist. He's a pronatalist for his sperm and people he deems worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe let's say you don't have a lot of money. Let's say you didn't go to college. I don't think he wants you to reproduce because he said as much.
Look.
Like, he wants some kind of superior race. This guy is corrupt, and I think the level of corruption goes deeper and deeper. Like I said, I don't think he ever had morals, but it's okay if you liked him at first to say, wow, he has really proven himself to be a bad actor.
Yeah, and this has been going on for a while now, for at least a couple of years. And your mission in government can't be there's too much government spending while also having benefited with at least $40 billion of subsidies from the government.
Oh, yeah, Elon.
You can't, that's him.
That's him.
He's taken in at least, it's like upper 30s, maybe $40 billion. It's billions and billions and billions of dollars he has personally, for his companies, taken from the government. You can't be out here crying about how much money the government is spending while also accepting billions and billions of dollars from them. It's It's completely hypocritical.
There's an old saying, and I don't know. I don't think it's from Obama. I know President Obama quoted it. Barack Obama quoted it, but I thought it was something else where he said, like, you can judge a nation and how successful it will be based on how it treats its women and girls. And I think you can say that about men as well. You can judge men, how they will be as leaders, how they will run a country, run a business, run their own ethical beacon of light by how they treat the women and girls in their lives. And the two most prominent men in our country right now, and President Donald Trump and the richest man in the world, Elon Musk, have a horrific, scandalous, and offensive history with women and children. And I'm telling you, looking at their own lives, we would be risibly naive to think that they would hold themselves to a standard of any kind in government, politics, or business.
The president says Elon Musk went crazy. So...
Well,
so now he finally figured it out. Yeah, he's not wrong. He may be a little late to this party, but he is definitely not wrong. Amy Markscores and Chris Ranji. Don't forget, the Gas House Gang is coming up. We'll talk some Cardinals at 12 o'clock. They just dropped 2 of 3 to Kansas City, and they got the Dodgers in town starting tonight. It's 104.1 FM KMOX. Well, the results are in, Amy.
They are, and it doesn't look great for a baseball. Baseball, almost 50% of respondents said baseball is the youth sport with the worst parents. Hockey, surprisingly, came in at 20%.
Yeah.
Basketball, 17%. And soccer, 12%. That shocks me. I would have thought baseball and soccer would be the top two.
Baseball had half of the respondents, literally half.
Yeah.
Followed by hockey. And then, as you mentioned, basketball and soccer. Soccer coming in last is interesting.
That's the surprise to me. I will say, I agree with you. We had a caller or a texter. Because you know how Michael Kelly said hockey parents were the best?
Yeah.
We had a caller or a texter who said hockey parents are either the absolute best or the absolute worst.
That's right.
And so maybe that accounts for the 20% is you run into a couple of bad hockey parents.
Well, of course.
That'll knock you down.
That's right. And I know Harambe had texted in earlier and said, baseball parents by far are the worst. My son plays basketball, football, and baseball. He goes on to say that as we talk about the Jerry Kelly 100 acts of kindness, he says, my act of kindness is I won't get drunk and yell at the umpires at my son's baseball tournament this weekend.
Well,
I think that's very kind. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because if you do the opposite of an unkind act,
yeah,
doesn't that automatically make you kind? Right.
I don't know. I don't know because it's kind of like I'm going to be kind by not robbing a bank.
I think that's a kind thing to do.
Well,
I did not rob a bank today. That's kind. But I feel like that's
more of 100 of not bad acts.
Well, that shouldn't be your 100 acts of kindness.
Yeah.
So if you have a 100 act of kindness, if you have an act of kindness that you have done for somebody, tell us what it is. Hashtag 100 kind acts.
Or a suggestion for us because we need 100 of them.
Yeah. And we're going to be broadcasting live at the Urban League on Tuesday next week to kick off Jerry Kelly's 100 acts of kindness from 9 to noon. We'll be there. So if you want to bring supplies, just look up on the Urban League website, all the stuff that they need and whatever you have that you want to donate, come on by. We'll be there from 9 to 12.
Nice. Yeah. Say hi. Bring some supplies. That's awesome.
Tuesday on Kings Highway.
Very cool. All right. Well, I feel like we haven't mentioned it today. First, we need you to vote for us on the A-List, STL Mag.
Time's running out.
At Chris Amy KMOX on Twitter. It's pinned. Otherwise, go to the A-List. It's something like arts and entertainment, news talk. We're not really sure. But vote for us on a list.
Yeah.
We think it's the St. Louis Magazine's A-List.
Right.
But we also want to remind people that we won an award.
We're an award-winning show.
We're an award-winning show. Best opinion.
How could you not vote for the award-winning show?
So, Matt, since we won the award, he's been curating some of our best opinions just from this week.
He's going to be doing this, I think, every week. It's a new segment on Friday that we'll call something like Out of Context.
Something like that.
It's our week out of context.
But also award-winning.
The award-winning
These are the
week.
Opinions that won us an award.
That's right. You think the tattoo's the thing that makes you look like crap? No, it's your sagging skin.
Derek Gould had a long piece.
It is the cutest thing in the world when Steve hurts your feelings.
Listen, if no one else is going to toot our horn, because no one else knows we exist.
What is a horn if you're not going to toot it?
That's right.
Because when the skin starts to sag, nothing looks good. What would the campaign slogan be? Save all the boobs?
A horn that doesn't toot is not a horn.
Somebody please toot this horn.
Yeah, it's Catholics. Catholics love to drink. I mean, in general.
What a sweeping generalization.
I know. We went to Hooters, but now the breast is history.
Most people listening,
losers.
That's true.
Wow.
That's right. What we're talking
about. That's exactly what we said.
We don't mean in your daily lives that you're not losers. If you listen to this show, you're a winner.
Yeah.
Because you're following an award-winning show.
We were just saying with our contests.
Yeah.
Only one person wins a day.
That's, for example, Cody Johnson tickets. Only 5 people won this week. And many, many more tried. So. In reality, most people are losers because they didn't win those tickets. Now, today on the Gas House Gang during the show coming up at 12, we'll give away a 4-pack of tickets for the game tonight against the Dodgers. And most of you are going to
lose.
Well, but somebody might win. You got to be listening for your chance to win.
It's like baseball. It's a game of failure.
Most of the time, if you hit 300, that means you fail 70% of the time.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you for listening. And I got bad news. Our boss is lingering by the door, so I'm going to go see what that's all about.
What's that about? He's going to come in here and start berating us.
Please vote for us. Our boss is already berating us.
Oh, my God. Does he have a... He's got a crowbar with him. He's about to start swinging. Gas House Gang is coming up. We're going to talk to Mike Claiborne. Matt Pauly's going to be with me. We will have John Rooney on the show, and former umpire, retired Joe West.
Nice.
He will be with us, Friends of Claib's part of the show now. Thanks for listening. Anything you missed is on the Odyssey app. Go back and get it. We love you very much. Chris and Amy show back Monday at 9 on KMOX.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.